Welcome to Learned Lag, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George and I are both in Zephyr A. This is season 32 for George and season 28 for me.
This is day 17 of season 100. Question 1 asks us for essentially the opposite of prone.
Supine is the opposite of prone. I wouldn't have known any of this etymology that is filling out the question for us. But I do know what prone and supine are relative to each other, and so I put supine down.
Okay. I remember exactly when I learned the word supine.
Oh.
It was, there was a, my family always subscribed to Games Magazine.
Sure.
Which still exists in slightly different form, but, and one time one of the puzzles was not a rebus, but like that thing where words represent other things, like, and
that's the one all, that they had words, as far as I know.
Where they're like pictures of things kind of, but, and in this one, it was the word accident, but all of the letters tilted 90 degrees to the left.
Okay.
So it looked like it was laying down.
Okay.
And that was supposed to make you think accident prone.
Oh.
And apparently they got more letters than on anything ever.
Right.
Because that would actually be accident supine.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it was looking upward rather than downward.
Right.
So that is when I learned supine is the opposite of prone, and that prone is always going to be face down. Supine is always going to be face up. Okay. I've always remembered that.
Yeah, I don't know where I learned this at all. It's just a word I know. And that is the correct answer. Question 2 asks us to, I'm going to read the whole thing because there's no summarizing it more succinctly, asks us to identify any one of the three Alta petals that constituted the powerful Nahuan Triple Alliance of the 15th and 16th centuries.
So Alta petal, P-E-T-L-S, the end there, the T-L indicates, okay, this is an Aztec probably question about the Aztecs. So my first thought is, okay, Alta petal might be an emperor, might be a person, like maybe, you know, Montezuma, of course, the, I believe the last of the Aztec emperors, you know, maybe he was like, maybe they actually had kind of a tripartite government and he was like the emperor. And then there was like a high priest or, you know, a judge or some such. But then I thought, well, no, because it says the 15th and 16th centuries, which indicates to me a longer span of time than one person's life.
Oh, sure.
So this is about something that's the that constitutes something in Middle America or Central America in that in those times. And I thought, well, okay, so were the Alta petals the constituents of the Aztec Empire? Was that the cities that made it up? Were they more like city-states than I'm aware of? Or were the Aztecs allied with others? Like, I think the Olmecs were before them, but maybe the Toltecs were around the same time. Maybe even the Inca. Like, maybe they, you know, maybe they kind of all considered themselves allies, and that's what that was, and that would be a pretty powerful collection, even for the time. So I kind of thought both things, and I couldn't really summon up what any of the Aztec cities were called. It just it just wasn't working for me, and I couldn't devote any more cycles to it. So I eventually just said, okay, well, it must be like the Aztecs and the Toltecs and the Inca or the Olmecs or something like that. So I'm going to go with Aztec.
I had a very truncated thought process with this one. I just figured, you know, I don't know enough about the history of this time and place to really know what an Alta petal might be. And so I just figured, well, this is an alliance of three things. And I know that Aztec, Toltec, and Olmec were kind of all interlinked cultures. And I thought perhaps they had some, this period of coexistence of some kind. And so just because it sort of sounded best to me, I put down Toltec, but not for any particularly good reason. Just thought, sure, why not that?
Sure. But no, it was the cities, Tenochtitlan, which is, I right. believe, what Mexico City is now.
Okay.
Texcoco or Tlacopan.
Right.
Which I don't know where those are in particular. So.
Yeah, I've never read those names before.
Yeah, I didn't look it up or anything. I don't know whether they were more like city-states that allied into this Triple Alliance, or whether they were just kind of the largest metropolises of the time.
But sure.
Question three basically takes us on a tour of Paris, starting on the Rue de Rivoli on the right bank of the Seine, and then continuing until a tourist mecca, which is near the Pont des Arts.
Yeah, so this one, I'm just still steamed at myself about, because I certainly picked up on the clue about the Pont des Arts, but somehow tourist mecca, there are at least three tourist meccas that aren't mentioned in this question.
Mm-hmm.
The Louvre, the Eiffel Tower, the Arc de Triomphe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the Arc de Triomphe is not so much a, you know, isn't as much of a mecca as the other two might be. And then I subsequently convinced myself that the Pont des Arts was a misdirect in the question, instead of
reasonable.
Being so incredibly obvious of a clue. Like, it almost makes me mad that this, you know, you're putting the word arts in a question about the Louvre, the most famous museum in the world, I'm going to say, of art museums,
yep.
at least. That, you know, literally everybody knows this. So why is that even a Learned League level question, in a way? Like, that's how overly obvious it seemed to me. And that's why I ended up putting down Eiffel Tower. Because I thought, well, maybe that's the thing, is that, you know, it's... Oh, I did think of Notre Dame as well, but I didn't...
Okay.
You know, again, tourist mecca is kind of the wrong, you know, phrasing for that. It would be a strange thing to call a church, I guess. I don't know.
Especially a Catholic one.
Well, yeah. So, in any case, I really... thought myself through this one as hard as I possibly could and put down Eiffel Tower.
I keyed in on the Seine, and the two major tourist mecca type things I could think of that are on the Seine are the Louvre and Notre Dame.
Okay.
I'm not 100% certain that Notre Dame is on the Seine itself, but it's on or very near a river, at least. I remember that part.
Uh-huh.
And when I say I remember... Don't ever trust me on anything that I say I remember, because my memory is incredibly holy. So I kind of had to figure, okay, is it the Louvre or is it Notre Dame? And then I figured Notre Dame right now is not really a tourist mecca so much. I mean, it probably is still attracting a lot of people to come and look at the reconstruction of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this was not sort of in past tense pushed me more toward the Louvre part of it.
Sure.
So I said Louvre.
That was the correct answer.
Phew.
I'm so mad.
Reasonable.
Question four asks us to name the film for which Ron Kovic won the Golden Globe for Best Screenplay in 1990, 22 years after a horrific injury.
Ron Kovic was a veteran who was paralyzed in combat, as I recall. Now that I think about it, I'm not 100% certain of that, but I'm pretty sure that he was. And he wrote Born on the 4th of July about it, which of course became a movie that Oliver Stone made with Tom Cruise, as they both shamelessly pandered for Academy Awards.
Wow.
So I said, Born on the 4th of July.
Took a turn into a hit job right there.
I admire Ron Kovic for everything he did. Up to and including selling his screenplay and writing it himself and making lots of money off of it.
True.
But oh my God, was that movie a pandering batch of nonsense.
Well, okay. I have not seen it. But nevertheless, I do remember it coming out. 1990 is, you know, my sophomore year in high school at this, you know, in the early part of the year there. Sophomore? Junior? Whatever. It must have been junior.
Right around there, yeah.
Yeah, junior. And so being aware of movies and stuff is, you know, as a kid in the tail end of the 90s or the 80s rather, everybody knew all the movies and just kind of you always heard about them. And so, yeah, this famously was a Tom Cruise serious dramatic role that everybody was kind of like, whoa, the guy from Risky Business can really act, kind of, you know, had that reaction mm-hmm. toward it. Because it was not even a, you know, I feel like most of what he'd done prior to then was, you know, Top Gun and Cocktail and Days of Thunder. Like, I may be getting the timelines of some of these wrong, too. Mm-hmm. You know, they may have come after, but this one kind of stood out. And I remember hearing a lot about the story because it's, of course, a very compelling one. And so, yeah, just the description of essentially Kovic's injury, and he became an advocate for veterans, as I recall, is kind of the big deal there mm-hmm. is after this very horrific thing. And so I also knew this was born on the 4th of July. I didn't even consider any other possible options there.
Yep. And that was correct. I will point out for the record to not necessarily absolve Mr. Cruz of my accusation of pandering. He returned his Golden Globe for this movie. And some others a few years back when the Hollywood Foreign Press Association came under fire for various things. With a few other people, but Tom Cruise returned all of his Golden Globes and said, I no longer wish to be associated with your organization. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
he was nominated for an Academy Award, but did not win one. Stone won for Best Director.
Ah.
Question 5 asks us for an Olympic sport and gives us a bunch of details about it.
Right. And it's a sport that sounds sort of vaguely like basketball, where mm-hmm. you can take a certain number of steps without bouncing the ball, and you can hold it for up to 3 seconds. So it's kind of in that same spirit of, you know, sounds like you probably are trying to get the ball into a goal or a net or something like that. And so I thought about basketball itself, or whether this might be a form of it that's like half court basketball or something that's, you know, related in that way. Mm-hmm. But we just had a basketball question yesterday, literally yesterday.
Yep.
And I would like to remind everybody that my answer to that question yesterday was handball. Now, today I thought, oh, I misremembered the thing from yesterday that I was trying to think of. Yesterday, I was trying to answer netball to that other question. That's actually what I was thinking. And I think of handball as a sport that two people play in a squash court.
Right, yeah.
Like setup.
Yeah.
So this is not the handball that I mm-hmm. know of.
Because that's a thing that... Like, I remember playing in elementary and middle school. Like, there was a wall with a line at kind of tennis court, tennis net level, and you would play with one of the big round red balls, mm-hmm. and it would be two people playing against each other in a very racquetball kind of, you know.
Okay.
You keep hitting it, and if it bounces twice, then you lose, and the next person rotates in. Yeah. Was that a thing in Michigan as well?
Well, not as handball.
Okay. Yeah, we always called it handball.
Because there were three racket court sports, racquetball, squash, and handball. And handball was literally where you were hitting the ball with your hand, mm-hmm. wearing a special glove.
But the small, hard, blue rubber ball.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I would think of as the handball of like the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like this.
Right.
And so... So the one that I thought I had been trying to figure out was netball, which I'm not totally clear on how that works either. I don't, you know, these are not sports that are super common in the States. You know, I thought about putting something funny like, you know, sort of pickleball battle royale or something like that. But I just thought, well, netball's a thing. It seems like a thing that could well be in the Olympics, so that's what I put down.
Yeah, I first thought of handball, and then I thought, no, wait, is it netball? And I thought, wait, is netball in the Olympics? Wait, what is netball? What is handball? And then I just kind of had to convince myself that it was one of those, and kind of had to think, okay, what's the size of that court? Okay, well, you know, would fit two teams of seven players each. This isn't something else. This has got to be one of those things, right? Right. Yeah, there's not another Olympic sport that's got all this stuff that isn't basketball, which this is not, or handball or netball. And eventually I just sort of decided, well, this sounds more like handball to me, and I've watched more handball than I have netball, because it's one of those things that I'll catch, you know, a half of a game on every now and then when the Olympics are on. When I'll just, you know, turn on the TV and flip around amongst the various Olympic events, because these people are amazing athletes, and it's not fair that the only exposure they ever get in at least in my world, is every 4 years for, you know, 15 minutes on the third Olympic channel.
Right.
But I finally eventually went with handball.
That was the correct answer.
Netball is not an Olympic sport. Okay. It is, well, it is, I take that back. It is recognized by the Olympics. It has, but it is not a sport that is played at the Olympics.
Well, that's a weird
distinction. There are a fair amount of them. Essentially, it's the Olympics saying, okay, we accept that you exist and that there is an organization that we will talk to kind of deal with maybe eventually getting to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more a recognition of, like, the World Netball Federation, I guess it's called, or whatever that's called. So
the governing body, huh?
Right. Yes. Okay. More recognition of the governing body than of the validity of the sport itself. So
I see.
Yeah. Netball was the result of a PE teacher misreading the rules of basketball in the late 1800s.
Okay.
And it is one of the few sports that is primarily played by women.
Ah, right.
So,
Well, that makes me feel a little better in thinking, mm-hmm. you know, what's described sounds vaguely basketball-like, and so mm-hmm. that's not a terribly far off the mark answer, at least.
Nope, it really isn't.
I am in cold comfort for that question.
Yeah.
Finally, question six asks us for the name of a coal derivative that also shares a name with a beverage.
And this is Coke.
Yeah.
And I learned this a long time ago. I remember that it came up more recently in local news because there's a lot of coal dumping that goes on around the Southeast Michigan area, probably having to do with making steel for cars.
Ah.
And so that's a thing that kind of always comes up in discussions of environmental justice and economic racism, that, like, if you overlay a map of where all these coke dumping places are to a map of racial segregation in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
it's basically the one-to-one. If there are a lot of black people, there will be a lot of coke dumping, legal and otherwise, in the area. Sure. So this is Coke.
Yep. This is another one where it's one that I've known so long that I don't remember exactly where I learned it. That it's kind of a, it's like this, car. Really, that's what's in the question is kind of all I know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is just that it's this coal byproduct or whatever you want to call it. And that it's called Coke, and haha, isn't that funny? You can make nerdy jokes about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew this one, which is, you know, a great way to get answers right at Learned League is to know the answer.
Yeah.
So I also put down Coke.
And that was correct.
Thank goodness.
So I had a pretty good day. I had five on the day, and I might have come to the sixth. I'm only a little bit mad at myself for not quite getting there, but I think I had a reasonable guess at it. So
Yeah, that second question just kind of completely threw me off as to, like, I'm supposed to know what an alto pedal is. Like, that just was beyond my experience. I'm gonna die mad about the Louvre and about handball and netball. So,
Reasonable.
that's how my Wednesday's going. But anything can happen. I've had some close wins and ties where I didn't expect anything. I think I'm up against someone who's right at the top of the Rundle anyway.
Oof.
So, no
That
matter
always
what I
blows.
do, it might not help. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Well, that's it for today. Tune in tomorrow for more post-game analysis. Follow us on Blue Sky at Learned Lag, now with all the vowels. And remember,
Don't forfeit.
don't cheat.